Spirit of God is at work within you, along with the old nature that says, come on, this could be fun. The new nature says it may be pleasurable for the moment, but there are consequences. Don't go there. Letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace.
The Apostle Paul wrote the Magna Carta of the Christian faith. That's what theologians often call the letter to the Romans. With precision, Paul described the awful condition our sinful nature places on humanity. And when we arrive at chapter 8, he makes a wonderful transition. In this passage, we're relieved to discover God's plan of redemption. Today, on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll offers a delightful reminder that while we were dead in our sins, Christ provides the quintessential solution, His grace. Chuck titled today's message, Living Above the Drag of Defeat. And we begin with prayer.
It's so good to be able to call you our Father and to talk with you, though briefly, as we lay before you the needs that weigh upon our minds and in our emotions, that have a way of draining away the joy and dragging us into a realm of defeat. Teach us, Lord, today the truth of the empowering Holy Spirit. May we be neither afraid of it nor take it to an extreme that is irresponsible or unbiblical. Give us a balanced understanding of what it means to be under the control of your Spirit. Thank you for the relief this chapter brings, for the hope it adds to an otherwise monotonous existence. Thank you for the joy that we gain as we enter into the Spirit-filled life. May it become for us a regular reality. Our gifts today are for you, Lord, and we wouldn't have our occupation if it weren't for you. We wouldn't have our strength to work at our service or calling or job if it weren't for you. And therefore, to you goes the credit, not only for our occupation, but for what we're able to earn from it. Accept our gifts, given because of our love for you and out of devotion because of a motive we wish to have these gifts glorify you. Among people we'll never meet, in places we'll never go, for your purpose, use these gifts, we pray. And we give them joyfully and generously. In the blessed name of Jesus, our Master, we pray. And all of his people say, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To dig deeper into Romans chapter 8 with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures tool by going to insight.org/studies. And now the message from Chuck titled, Living Above the Drag of Defeat.
The beautiful thing about Romans 8 is the wretched man is nowhere to be found again, never mentioned again. And the reason is, I think Paul was anxious to get to Romans 8. The blessed Holy Spirit comes into the subject and fills the pages from here on. It's magnificent, the difference his presence makes. No wonder Romans 8 is among the top 10 of the chapters in the Bible. It begins with no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The Greek sentence begins with those words, no condemnation. The chapter ends with no separation. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No condemnation, no separation, and in the middle of the chapter, no accusation. Who can bring a charge against God's elect? It is God that justifies. There is no accusation. If God be for us, who can be against us? What a relief. No wretched man, no condemnation, no accusation, no separation. This magnificent chapter starts as we are given with three facts regarding our God that are true. First, we are eternally secure in Christ. Verse 1. Look at it. Look at this. You come out of Romans 7 wondering if it will be desert from here on, but the cool winds of the Spirit begin to blow, and he quickly says there's no condemnation. We are eternally secure in Christ. Look at the second verse that just builds on it. We are also internally freed by the Spirit. Look at the verse. Because you belong to him, that's Christ, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. As I often render this word death, to a death-like existence. It's the wretched man being lived out. It's the flesh taking control. But you have been freed by the Spirit so that sin no longer has that control over you. Now, there's a third factor that I don't want you to miss. Both of those statements are true. We are eternally secure. We are internally freed. Both are true because we are the recipients of grace, which is the subject of this series. Living by grace. I want you to see grace as it doesn't appear in its actual word. You won't read of grace in verses 3 and 4, but you'll see grace. Follow along. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So look at the grace that came to our rescue. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, sinless that it was, in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us. Look at the grace here. By giving us his son as a sacrifice for our sins. For by grace you have been saved through faith. You haven't earned your salvation. You haven't paid for your salvation. You haven't worked for your salvation. You couldn't work long enough or hard enough. You haven't cleaned up your life enough to gain salvation. You can't get that clean. To be as clean as Christ is, we need help. And the grace of God comes to our rescue, and you'll see it here. God gave us his son as a sacrifice for our sin. Now, verse 4 is another dimension of grace. Look at it. God did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us, not by us. The law requires this. Grace of God took care of it. The law demanded that. Grace of God covers that. It was all done for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead we now follow the Spirit. Now, with that in mind, Paul launches into a series of contrasts. He loves to do this with that logical mind of his, because by contrasting something, you're able to see both sides and the truth of it emerges clearly. In verses 5 through 11, think of two columns. I'll put them there on your outline for you. The column on your left would represent the old nature. The column on your right represents the new nature, and you'll see contrasting statements true under each. Look at verse 5. Follow along. This is the Christian now. We have the Spirit of God within us. Those Christians, those believers who are dominated by the sinful nature, think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So we have our first in the list of three things. First thing, under the old nature, you think about sinful things. Isn't that true? When you're around tempting things, you think about yielding because you're dominated by the flesh. When you're around something that you shouldn't do, you think about doing it because it's coming from your old nature, which is not changed from when you were lost. Your old nature isn't affected by your conversion. The only difference is the house of your system becomes a duplex. Now the old nature lives there, but there's a new nature living alongside. And you'll see in verse 5 that you think about spiritual things when the Spirit controls you. For example, you see something that you should not yield to. The Spirit of God says to you and gives you the power, says, restrain yourself. Hold back. Don't go there. Don't yield. Don't give in. Don't say yes. The Spirit of God is at work within you, along with the old nature that says, come on, this could be fun. This could be, at least for a while, pretty pleasurable. The new nature says it may be pleasurable for the moment, but there are consequences. Don't go there. So you see the first contrast. Think about spiritual things, sinful things, verse 5 begins, and the new nature thinks about spiritual things. Look at verse 6. So, letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. So that goes under the sinful nature, a death-like existence. But there's the contrast. Letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. So we're making our list. Under the old nature would be a death-like existence, and under the new nature would be a life marked by peace, fulfillment, satisfaction. That's verse 6. It leads to life and peace. Now, you know, as we're sitting here together, if you're like me, you think, why is it such a battle? It just seems so obvious what we should do. Well, we're all sitting here together. It makes it a little bit easier in this context. It's the only place on earth where we're in the majority. Believers are in the majority. When you step out of here and you're in the world, you're in a system where you're forever virtually alone. Where you work, you operate pretty much alone. The team you play on, you're probably one of the few, if not the only Christian. The company you work for has very few Christians, quite likely, unless it's a Christian organization. But you're in the minority, most likely. Well, therefore, what you hear, what's discussed, what's being planned, is all from the realm of a sinful nature. It's all coming from that worldly frame of mind. And you as a Christian are now faced with, do I go along with that or do I resist that? Do I follow along with the majority or do I stand more alone? When I stand alone, I go to bed that night with peace because I did what was right. But when I yield and give in to it, it's a death-like existence. I'm miserable. I'm guilty. I feel uneasy, ashamed, disappointed in myself. You've got the picture. Now look at verse 7. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. That's what you write here in the column. Number 3, sinful nature, hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws. It never will. And then he goes back to the old life. That's why those who were still under the control of their sinful nature never please God. Those without Christ do not please God. I know that's not politically correct, but that's part of the reason it's so right. It's what the scripture teaches. Don't be afraid of embracing the truth. It explains a lot. Hostile to God. So you're not surprised when you hear someone from the world make a statement that is diametrically opposed to spiritual things. Why? That's their lifestyle. That's the way they think. That's their frame of reference. But you read on in verse 9, but there's the contrast, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You're controlled by the Spirit, if you have the Spirit living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. Christ lives in you, so even though your body will ultimately die, we'll pass, we'll leave this earth, because we have a nature that's marked by sin, but the Spirit gives you life. So in the column would be hostile to God, the other side, pleasing to God, and you live the spiritual life. Since we have the Spirit of God living within us, let me pause and say, we're learning spiritual truth. Now, nothing is writing this on a screen in front of you, but you're being illumined. If you have learned something that you didn't know earlier, it's called illumination. And we have the Spirit of God to thank for that. It doesn't come from your old nature. Your old nature doesn't want you to learn this because it puts it in its place. When you learn this truth, it gets you a heads up on this battle that goes on between you. And you see, this also explains, if I may go here, how you can bring a friend with you to church, let's say, and you can be virtually on tiptoe on the edge of your seat, loving what you're hearing and feeling inspired and informed, and you look at your friend who is like this, if not sleeping away. Why? It doesn't make sense. He doesn't, or she doesn't, have the Spirit. So when I worked through this, I thought, how can I illustrate this in a way that nobody will miss it? And I thought of this. Let's say there are two men walking their dogs, and they're coming toward each other. They've never met before. Suddenly they meet. Okay, we got two guys meeting, two dogs meeting. The men greet each other, the dogs smell each other, so they do what dogs do when they meet, and they wag tails and sniff around and woof, you know, bark a little. And the two men don't bark, they don't have tails, so they talk, and they talk in ways that are clear to each of them. Dogs don't have a clue what they're saying. We don't have a clue what the dogs are saying. But one dog has barked to the other one, You know, there's a couple of rabbits over here in the bush. I saw them earlier. Did you see them? And the other one says, no, I didn't see that. Well, let's go look. So they romp off, having talked to each other like dogs talk, and they get over there and they flush these rabbits out of their hiding and chase them and have a little fun while the two men are talking. Maybe they find out that they're both believers and they're talking about spiritual things, and the dogs come back to their masters and they sit down beside their masters and have a clue as the masters are talking about Christ and the things of God. And it's not dog talk. It's human talk. And it's foreign to dogs. Now, a dog can understand a dog, and a man can understand a man, but a man can't really understand a dog. And believe it or not, I know you think your dog is different, but your dog doesn't know what you're saying. All he's hearing is blah, 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 spot, blah, blah, spot, blah, 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 spot. He just hears his name. That's the way it is spiritually. The things of God are known by the Spirit of God, and he makes them known to those who are spiritual. And of all things, a man or woman can understand what God is saying. He's written a lot of it in his word. Some of it he reveals as we spend time in prayer, seeking his will. May not be audible, but we sense a direction from God. Our dog doesn't. And it may be a very intelligent and obedient dog, but it's outside the realm of his understanding. You got it. Now, let me muddy the waters a little. When you're not controlled by the Spirit of God, then this is the way you look when you're here. And now, you may not do it. You may be too nice to do it. Some of you aren't. You still do it. But most of you don't want to be offensive. But in your carnal state, you don't care. In fact, preaching like this makes you uneasy because it pinpoints you. It calls you what you are. When you walk in the flesh, you're carnal. That's not my idea. Let me show you where I got it. Go one book ahead to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, okay? Everybody turn. I don't hear many pages turning. Everybody turn. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, here we go. Dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, says Paul to the Corinthians, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I had to talk as though you belonged to this world or as though you were infants in the Christian life. I had to feed you with milk and not solid food because you weren't ready for anything stronger. You still aren't ready. He gets very specific, for you're still controlled by your sinful nature. There's a rendering that renders this carnal. You're still carnal. You are jealous of one another and you quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove you're controlled by your sinful nature? See how it works? When you're carnal, you compete. You're envious. You compare. When you're spiritual, you don't do that. We would say you're bigger than that. God puts you on another plane, and you operate free of all that human competition. When you're under the control of the Spirit, listen to me, it's marvelous. You can relate to others and never once compare yourself to her or to him. Never feel envious toward him or her. Why? Because the Spirit of God is in control.
spiritual mysteries are known only by God Himself, and to understand these mysteries, we need to be filled with God's Spirit. You are listening to Insight for Living, and we're midway through a message from Chuck Swindoll titled, Living Above the Drag of Defeat. To go deeper in your studies on this engaging topic, or to learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. Just a reminder that your learning doesn't need to end here. Insight for Living offers a wide variety of resources for you to dig deeper on your own. Today, I want to draw your attention to a life-giving resource from Chuck. It's a daily devotional filled with 365 glimpses of hope and grace. Chuck titled this book, Wisdom for the Way. As we discovered in today's message, we can't expect to understand the wisdom of God until we engage our hearts and minds in His Word. Chuck said a moment ago, the things of God are known by the Spirit of God, and He makes them known to those who are spiritual. This book provides a natural starting point for your spiritual awakening. In just a few minutes, you can read uplifting words that are squarely founded on God's wisdom. You can start your day or end your day filling your mind with wisdom for the way. To purchase a copy of this daily devotional from Chuck, go to insight.org/store. Bear in mind, it's not the sale of books and resources that fuels this nonprofit ministry. Insight for Living is fully supported by grateful listeners like you. We invite you to join us in our mission to reach North America and beyond with these daily Bible teaching programs. To give a contribution today, call us. If you're listening in the United States, call 800-772-8888. Or you can give online at insight.org/donate. I'm Bill Meyer. Join us next time when Chuck Swindoll continues to describe how to live above the drag of defeat on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Living Above the Drag of Defeat, was copyrighted in 2020 and 2023, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2023 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.